People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Imagine being able to throw away your contacts and glasses. Imagine waking up tomorrow with 20/20 vision. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, guess what? There's a company that agrees with you. The LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK to make it affordable for everyone. That means you get the latest FDA-approved LASIK technology for a fraction of what others charge. And if you call right now, we'll schedule a free appointment so you can discover if LASIK is right for you. Results may vary. Call 1-800-700-1851. Even better, if you're one of the first 100 callers, ask about an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Let us help you. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you deserve at a fraction of what others charge. For your free appointment, call 1-800-700-1851. 1-800-700-1851.
660 AM, The Answer.
I am America. One voice, united we stand. I am America. One hope to heal our land. I will not give up on this fight. I will not fade into the night. I am America.
America's liberty is under assault, and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Well, hello, good evening. Welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. So glad you've tuned in. We have a great show coming up tonight. And this is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. And, you know, in this very first segment, I always do a Speak Up for America segment. And I want to just jump right in and tell you something is simply breathtaking that your Department of Justice, paid for by your tax dollars, is doing. All of this relates to immigration. And, you know, in this election cycle, in 2016, this presidential election year, there's a lot of talk around the immigration issue and on many, many subjects of how we secure the border and what do we do with people who arrived illegally and they're still here and how do we handle them and what's our going forward, our immigration policy. And I want to tie something or make the which I think is the most important point about immigration. As I've said in the show many times before, the Democrat Party happily refuses to secure the border, happily welcomes more and more illegal immigrants, allows children crossing into America, into in camps in Texas and around the country, who have no legal right to be here, who just pour over our border. And the entire reason the Democrat Party supports this is because they see an ocean of new Democrat voters. They are working as hard as they can to be sure that people who enter illegally have a fast track somehow to citizenship. One way that happens is if they are designated as refugees. But I want to tie something about immigration and the whole fabric of America's future, because the bottom line of the immigration issue is this: when do people who cross the border or enter America illegally, if ever, have the right to vote as an American citizen? When do they acquire that right? Because if the Democrats thought that these immigrants flooding into our borders would be voting for constitutional limited government, if they'd be voting for low taxes and keeping the government dependency program small, if they thought they were for people that they would vote for conservative ideas, the Democrats would have built the wall themselves the moment President Obama got elected. This is where we are. I want to tell you something truly breathtaking. In fact, the judge presiding over this case I'm about to tell you about said he has never in his entire practice of law or his time on the bench observed the Department of Justice act in such an indescribably incomprehensible way as they are behaving in this case. Let me just tell you what this case is, because this we're going to talk about this case and what it signals to everyone who's paying attention about the Democrats' intent on this immigration issue. And I'm going to just go back in history a little bit after that and tell you how we got here. But here's the case. There is a U.S. agency, the U.S. Election Assistance Commission, the EAC, Election Assistance Commission. That commission granted permission to four states, Kansas, Georgia, Alabama, and Arizona, to enforce their proof of citizenship voter registration requirement. So those four states have a voter registration requirement that says you have to show proof of citizenship. Left-wing groups, including League of Women Voters and a bunch of other left-wing groups, are suing to stop the federal government from allowing these states to say, yes, it's okay, states, you can actually demand proof of citizenship before these people can register to vote. So these left-wing groups actually went to federal court and they sought a kind of an emergency thing called a TRO. and anyway, they went to federal court to seek an instant order, a temporary restraining order, and a preliminary injunction. Essentially, they want the judge to tell the EAC, you can't let those four states actually require proof of citizenship before they register voters. What those groups are saying is, we want non-citizens to vote. In fact, they're demanding the right of non-citizens to vote. They're trying to say those states have no right to uphold the most basic American idea we all know is the right thing, which is you have to be a citizen to vote. So these left-wing organizations are trying to stop this EAC from doing that, and the Department of Justice, paid for by your tax dollars, run by your president, Obama, the Department of Justice came into the case on the side of the left-wing groups trying to get illegal aliens permitted to register to vote. The Department of Justice, instead of coming in behind the own federal agency, the EAC, and saying, yeah, of course, these four states can say you have to show proof of citizenship, the Department of Justice came in on the side of the left-wing groups saying, let anyone register. We don't care if they're citizens. They do not have to prove their citizenship. So this case is pending, and this one author, I'm going to post the article on the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page, but if you think this is just a surprise or a coincidence or you can't see the roots of this, this is a long-term left-wing strategy to fundamentally change America that started a long time ago. In fact, many of you may recall, I recall when it happened, the National Voter Registration Act of 1993, also known as the Motor Voter Act. The federal government passed a law in 1993 saying that states had to, were required, were mandated to, when people come to get a driver's license, you go ahead and register them to vote. And so it, you know, was this all this great supposed idea. We're going to encourage people to be more involved in their civics. It's their civic responsibility. Can make it easier so they get registered and they can vote. And at that time, I remember serious conservative thinkers saying, this is one of the steps along the path to get to where we no longer make a distinction between citizens and non-citizens about who votes. And I used to be a little more innocent and thought, nah, that's pretty extreme. You can't really think the Democrats had that in mind. Trust me, folks, it's exactly what they had in mind. They started the process with a 1993 Motor Voter Act. So every state, every time you go to get your driver's license, automatically registers you to vote. And then the next thing that happened, so that was 1993, then starting in the early 2000s, how many of you recall how many left-wing states began issuing driver's licenses to people who were not United States citizens? So now federal law says you have to register them to vote when they come to get their driver's license. And then these states, in fact, I'll just tell you a few of them. California finally got done in 2013, the state of Connecticut in 2013, the state of Illinois in 2012, and there were other states in the battle in this discussion about let's just let people who entered America illegally have no legal right to be here, let's let them have driver's license. So now they have a driver's license, an automatic registration to vote, and now the Obama administration is, with through the Department of Justice, taking the side of the people saying, go ahead and let these people who are cannot prove they are citizens, who may not have any right to be here, let them go ahead and register to vote. You see what's happening, folks, and this is all tied into this immigration issue and this election cycle. This is not about, as some of the left-wing people try to claim, about some people are intolerant and they don't like people who don't look like us. This is not about racism, xenophobia, anti-anybody. This is about the integrity of the American election process. You're supposed to understand what America is. You're supposed to understand the idea of America before you can come here to vote. What other country can you think of? And the answer is none. What other country can you think of that would allow you to wander in one day, enter their border illegally, sneak into the country, and start to vote? What country? Not Western Europe, not South America, not Mexico. They put you in jail for trying that in Mexico. Other countries do not permit this, but political correctness in this country has so skewed our basic patriotism and nationalism and pride about America that we are a little bit hesitant, a little bit fearful to say, hey, wait a minute. We shouldn't let non-citizens vote. We should have laws in place that protect against letting non-citizens to vote. So when you hear the immigration issue discussed in this election cycle in 2016, understand the whole issue gets to, at the end of the day, do people who do not have the legal right to be here have the right to vote? And that is the core of the issue. This is Debbie George Addison. Ladies, can we talk? We are going off to our break. We have a great guest coming up the next segment. Rick Green, he's running for Texas Supreme Court. Come back. It'll be a very quick break. We're going to have a very fast show. Don't go away.
Today is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Lisa Hendrickson, running for Denton County Republican Chair, brings with her over 20 years of experience working with conservative candidates and for conservative causes. As a former teacher, Lisa understands the importance of educating, equipping, and inspiring every generation. And with over a decade of experience in marketing, public relations, and fundraising, she brings with her the unique skill set to build and cultivate relationships and build the brand of the Republican Party in Denton County. During early voting, February 16th through February 26th, or on March 1st, go to the bottom of the ballot and vote Lisa Hendrickson for Denton County Chair. On Facebook, please go to Lisa Hendrickson for Denton County Republican Party Chair and check out the website lisaforgopchair.com. You can also text Lisa to 28748. Again, vote for Lisa Hendrickson for Denton County GOP Chair on primary voting day, March 1st, or vote early between February 16th and 26th. That's Lisa Hendrickson for Denton County GOP Chair.
Hey, it's Mark Davis. You know what they say happens after you turn 40. Well, about a million things, but here's one you could actually do something about. Let's fix your vision. You have those reading glasses fused to your face all the time, or when you do take them off, you lose them, you sit on them, it's just crazy. Let's get you out of the reading glasses relay with the corneal inlay procedure from my friends at the Climate Evangelista Eye Center. This is a wonderful thing. You can't literally turn back time, so you got two options: reading glasses for the rest of your life, or the corneal inlay procedure from Climate Evangelista Eye Center. This is a wonderful procedure specially designed to restore reading vision for the over 40 crowd. So if that's you, get on over to the phone, call 1-800-714-2020, 1-800-714-2020, or myinlay.com. They're in Arlington, Plano, and Knox Henderson in Dallas. Free consultation, myinlay.com. Call them, 1-800-714-2020 or myinlay.com.
From Plano to Denton down to Louisville too. Huffines has it. Also in McKinney, we'll prove it to you. Huffines has it.
And now get more truck for your buck during Ram Truck Month at Huffines Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Plano and Huffines Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Louisville. Get Texas size savings on Huffines Texas size selection of new Ram trucks. And Huffines will save you even more with huge cash rebates, super low financing, and guaranteed top dollar for your trade. So for Texas size savings on a Texas size selection of new Ram trucks and all the other Chrysler Jeep and Dodge cars and SUVs, Huffines has it at Huffines Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Plano at Ohio and Coit Road. In Louisville, Huffines Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram on I-35, just north of 121, or online 24/7 at Huffines.net. Huffines
has it. Are you being denied credit? Are you paying high interest rates? At CreditRepair.com, we know life happens. Divorce, medical bills, student loans, and many other reasons why credit scores fall. That's why at CreditRepair.com, we're committed to helping folks get the second chance they deserve to improve their credit.
CreditRepair.com is actually acting as an advocate for me. Things that I thought when you paid them off, they were still on there. Things that I didn't even know were on, they were on there. But they got them removed. I feel they're doing what they said they'd do and beyond. I'm not going to abuse this second chance that they gave me. I'm in the process now of buying a home. CreditRepair.com actually does work.
We can help you get a second chance at great credit. The consultation is free and includes a free credit score and summary credit report. We'll review your current credit situation right on the phone with a game plan to restore it. Call 800-231-1735. That's 800-231-1735. Again, 800-231-1735. 800-231-1735.
Listen to us live on iHeartRadio, 660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello, welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. We have on the line tonight Rick Green. He is a Texan who is running for Texas Supreme Court in Place 5. Hi, Rick.
Hey, Debbie. Thanks for having me. Glad to be with you.
Glad to have you, sir. Well, you know, this election season is early voting is over. We have the obviously Super Tuesday is this coming Tuesday. And it's the if you haven't voted yet, you can vote in your primary in Texas and vote. And among the many things on the ballot have to do with some of the seats on the Texas Supreme Court. So, Rick, I want to jump right in and ask you something. A lot of people saw after Justice Scalia passed on and unexpectedly that there was quite a battle over who would nominate and then obviously choose the person who'd be on the bench to take Justice Scalia's place. And I think people see in the national level, well, you know, there's so many big issues. They're political. They have political overtones, and the liberals are very obvious in the court and the conservatives. Is that also true in Texas? Is there that strain in the court, whether we have a liberal versus conservative tension going on?
It's not quite. It's definitely not as bad as at the federal level. I mean, but there's definitely a split at the state level. I would say, you know, you've got nine Republicans on the court, but you definitely have a difference in legal philosophy, and that difference really is probably best explained or described even in an exchange my opponent and I had at one of our debates. In that, when the marriage question came up, his opinion was it's set a law. The Supreme Court is, he said, the supreme law of the land, and therefore it's over. I completely disagree with that. The Founding Fathers would disagree with that and say that Article 6, the Supremacy Clause, says that the Constitution is the supreme law of the land and that the Supreme Court does not have the final say. The other branches have plenty of opportunity to push back, and the other levels of government, the states have an opportunity to push back as well. So there's definitely a difference in philosophy in terms of this sort of legal elite establishment that believes that judges are essentially the high priest of the law. And then there are those of us that don't believe that. We believe the Constitution is the final say, and that comes from we the people. And therefore, if we will pay more attention to these judicial issues, we can get the court put back in its proper box. And that's why I'm running. I'm a big believer in separation of powers and making sure that the court only does what it was intended to do, that we keep it within the jurisdictional lines that we the people drew for it, and stop allowing them to make law for the state or for the country.
We're speaking tonight with Rick Green, who is running for Texas Supreme Court Place 5, and actually you are challenging an incumbent who is sitting on the court in the primary. If you haven't voted yet, the primary is this coming Tuesday. So what would you describe? That was a great example, the issue of marriage and whether you just defer to the Supreme Court's recent case or not. What other kinds of issues do you feel like you'd be different from your opponent or from the person you're challenging in issues before the court?
Well, that's a great indication of someone's instincts with regard to religious liberty and other constitutional rights. And that's why I got drafted to run. When the marriage case came down last summer, well, frankly, the whole summer was a debacle at the courts, both at the federal level and the state level. You know, of course, we had Obamacare and the federal marriage decision just back-to-back days. And then the week before that, we had a state marriage case where the incumbent decided to ignore our Texas Constitution regarding marriage being one man and one woman and acknowledge a homosexual divorce, and frankly do it outside the jurisdictional lines that we the people drew in our Constitution. And we told the court they could not do that, but they did it anyway. That's not the only issue. There are other issues. There's a property rights case where, you know, he has said that it's okay for a homeowner association or a city to come and tell you that even though they approved your plans, that now that they found out your plans overstep some regulation that they have, they can, you know, force you to tear down whatever you've built. I mean, those are basic constitutional issues of property rights, parental rights, you know, everything from marriage and life and Sharia law. These are all big issues that are at the state court level all over the country. We're seeing it happen in other state Supreme Courts across the country where parents are being told they can't homeschool, where abortion and life are being decided by the judges instead of by the legislators who were supposed to have making the law. And so I want to be in a position to defend our Constitution, defend the basic religious liberty rights of all Texans, and make sure that that we're not allowing these judges to overstep the boundaries that they have. And the good news is we had when that marriage case came down last summer, there were three rock-solid conservatives on the court that said that's wrong. We should not be tying the Attorney General's hands and preventing him from defending our Constitution. I'm looking forward to standing with those guys and gals and bringing back a strong conservative majority to this Texas Supreme Court that will defend our Constitution.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit, you're obviously an attorney, a little bit about your background, the practice of law?
Yeah, in fact, it's kind of funny. If you listen to the ads out there, you would think I wasn't even an attorney. I've been practicing law for a little over 18 years. I went to University of Texas Law School and did my undergrad out of Angelo State. I do transactional work. I'm not a trial lawyer, it's true, and I'm not a sitting judge. Half of our Texas Supreme Court justices in history were not judges before they served on the Supreme Court. It's actually a good thing to have different experiences represented in that room. When that door's shut and those nine justices are debating these issues, rather than them all coming from, you know, kind of cut from the same cloth, coming from the exact same backgrounds, it's great to have, you know, people from different backgrounds. And I'm bringing some things to the court that, frankly, have been missing for a few years. One is the fact that I'm a legislator, a former legislator. I served two terms in the Texas House, served on the Criminal Jurisprudence Committee. I passed the only tort reform bill while I was there in the legislature. In fact, it was stopping cities from suing gun manufacturers, number one bill of the NRA and Gun Owners of America. In fact, Charlton Heston, after that ad was, after that legislation was passed, came and did an ad in Texas for me back then. That he said, Rick Green's a patriot you can trust. Join me in supporting Rick Green. So not only Charlton Heston has supported me in the past, but in this race, folks like Chuck Norris and David Barton and Dr. James Dobson and Kirk Cameron and great legal minds out there like Kelly Shackelford and Matt Staver and Mike Ferris and Judge Paul Pressler and all of these conservative leaders. We've got over 100 conservative leaders and groups out there that have endorsed me over this 20-year incumbent specifically because of having the right judicial philosophy. And mainly it's the constitutional experience that I'm bringing to the table. It's not just being a lawyer, and I've been an arbitrator, a mediator, and been with big firms and small firms. I love my slow practice because I get more time with my family. But all of that's kind of, you know, small compared to, and frankly, everybody in the race has the legal experience necessary. But what's important is the constitutional experience that I bring to the table. I've been teaching on the Constitution for 15 years all over the country, had 20,000 people go through my class. I've been learning at the feet of David Barton for almost, 16 years now. I think the preeminent historian in the country certainly has the best resources. We have the largest private collection of Founding Fathers documents in the country, so we can actually go to the original intent of the founders when we're looking at these constitutional issues. So you throw all that in the mix, and that's why you have all these conservative leaders saying, man, that's what we need. We need Rick Green's experience on the Supreme Court right now This isn't about some nuanced procedural issue. This is about basic constitutional rights and having someone that's battle-tested that you know will stand firm on those things and defend these things for the future of our kids.
Okay, you know, again, we're speaking, if you've just tuned in, we're speaking with Rick Green, who is a candidate for the Texas Supreme Court, place 5, and the you're almost out of time to vote. This coming Tuesday, March 1st, is our primary voting day, if you haven't voted yet. And so it happens, the person who's challenging the incumbent also has the last name Green, but the gentleman we're speaking to is Rick Green. And, you know, I did some research after first connecting with you about all the conservative endorsements you have, which is kind of interesting because often people are reticent to challenge an incumbent sitting justice, especially in a high court like the Texas Supreme Court, unless there's a really compelling reason. So I think that people, the conservatives, and it's not just social issue conservatives, as you say, it's property rights, it's the constitutional conservatism, feel it's important enough to challenge this incumbent to support you. So I commend you. Sounds like you're running bring a lot to the table for this court. We're going to wrap up here in this segment, but can you tell our listeners how to find more about you and where to go to on the internet to find your website?
You bet. Thanks, Debbie. And you're exactly right. Those endorsements are unusual when running against an incumbent, and it's for exactly the reason you just stated. But the website is rickgreen.com, and click on the campaign site there, and you can see all the endorsements. You can learn a little bit more about me and my background and my family and my beliefs and my judicial philosophy. And I would just share one of those endorsements from Phyllis Schlafly. She said, "Candidates in judicial elections deserve an extra layer of scrutiny. Too often, judicial supremacists have rewritten our laws and forced unwanted policies on the public." So she said, "Rick Green's a stellar candidate for Supreme Court. He values our constitutional system and the proper role of the judiciary." So that's exactly the kind of the motivation that these endorsers have. Is that we're at the precipice. We have got to restore our constitutional limits and jurisdictions, and Rick Green's the guy that will help do that. So pick Rick. Don't be confused by the two candidates named Green. Pick Rick if you want to restore separation of powers.
Thank you. We're speaking with Rick Green. Thank you so much for calling in tonight, sir. And I will also commend to our listeners the Facebook page, Rick Green. I guess it's just Rick Green for Supreme Court. Very good. Full of all the endorsements. Encourage everyone to go there, too.
Debbie, thank you so much. There's some great videos on there as well, some good educational stuff. We do these things called constitutional minutes, just 1 or 2 minutes on really important issues in the Constitution to help people learn about things that they're happening right now and the challenges they can do something about. God bless you. I appreciate you having me on.
Thank you for calling in. This is Debbie Georges, and ladies, can we talk? We're going to have the tiniest little break and come back after the break, and I have lots of really important things to talk with you about, really about this election cycle in 2016, and so don't go away. Come right back after our break.
Saying "I don't know" is no longer acceptable. This is 660 AM, The Answer. The Mark Davis Show.
The Mark Davis Show.
So, what shall we call it? Super Monday? Works for me. Our next show together will be Super Tuesday Eve. Early voting done. Election day a day away. Candidates all over the place positioning for their political lives. And here we are to talk about it. I will see you and hear from you on a busy Monday morning.
The Mark Davis Show. Weekday mornings at 7, right before Mike Gallagher at 10 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Some on the American left claim they are standing up for women when they are really just selling failed liberal ideas. They do this because once they claim the pro-women banner, they can attack people who disagree with their political opinions as anti-women. The truth is, American women have formed countless new conservative political organizations. Here are a few. Ladies Can We Talk, Independent Women's Forum, Chicks on the Right, Smart Girl Politics, Claire Booth Luce Society, Politichicks, Susan B. Anthony List, Kitchen Cabinet, Voices of Conservative Women, Concerned Women of America, Eagle Forum. Millions of American women embrace conservative ideas because those ideas actually make life better for women. This is Debbie Georgiadis. Keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America and about how the issues impact all Americans, including women.
We are visiting our friend, Chef Tom Fleming at Crossroads Diner. What do you have cooking today, Tom?
Let me ask you a question. Where you been getting your fried yard bird on lately? I know what you're thinking. Yeah, it's fried chicken. Well, at the diner, we do it a little bit different. Hand-pounded, hand-breaded, fried to order, and it comes with the best smooth, warm, creamy brie cheese. And then we top it with, oh my God, I can't even believe this, a tomato caper relish that is just out of this world. So if you've been eating fried yard bird somewhere else, come by the Crossroads Diner, because my yard bird's the best.
Fresh ingredients sure to please any sophisticated palate and taste at affordable diner prices in a casual environment. Crossroads Diner. Come eat with us at our new location, now at the corner of Preston and Campbell in the Kroger Shopping Center. Open for breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Sunday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Or visit them on the web at crossroadsdiner.com. Homestyle goodness meets traditional diner. Great recipes, fresh ingredients, comfortable environment, and genuine hospitality are the heart and soul of Crossroads Diner. We'll be waiting for you.
And the Grammy goes to...
And the American Music Award goes to...
Mr. Stephen Curtis Jackson.
We're the Third Day.
We're forming sort of one new band called SCC3D.
Our sister station's doing it again.
The 94.9 KLTY Concert Series welcomes Stephen Curtis Chapman
with Third Day
at the Verizon Theater on April 30th. Get your tickets right now at AXS.com. AXS.com.
Richard Rawlings of Gas Monkey Garage here with my sister and brother from different mothers, James and Sherry Green. Right, sis?
That's right, bro. And at A Number One Air, we treat all our customers like family. We guarantee all our work and we never charge overtime.
And this month only at A Number One Air, it's our warehouse clearance with 60% off all heating and AC equipment. And get a free Nest Smart Thermostat with any new furnace or AC installation.
Sister Sherry, brother James, can I get an amen?
Amen.
Call 1-800-NEW-HEAT or visit anumberoneair.com.
The year is not so new anymore, but your carpets can look that way with Zero Res. Hey, Mark Davis, my friends at Zero Res just gave me the fantastic carpet cleaning, and I'm offering it to you. $33 a room. $33 a room by calling 214-37-CLEAN, then plus 100 square feet of tile cleaning for free and a $50 gift card from Estilo Gaucho. It is pre-treated, clean, and sanitized. Best carpet cleaning ever from my friends at Zero Res. $33 a room. Call them now for the special. 214-37-CLEAN for Zero Res. 214-37-CLEAN.
Dallas, Fort Worth's home for stimulating talk. 660 AM, The Answer.
866-660-5759 is the number to call with your question or comment. Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hello there. Welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. You know, this is as Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk. I say quite often this is the fastest 2 hours of my week, especially in this presidential election year. There's so much going on. It's very, very hard to decide which stories to talk about. But I wanted to share a couple of things in a segment about the presidential election cycle and really ask you, I mean, I think that it may have been things that you hear and you think, what does that mean? Where does that come from? One thing I want to talk about, there's been endless discussion of the evangelical vote. And I want to just share with you what evangelical vote means. Because I think when people think of evangelical, they might think, oh, you're like an evangelist, like the number of people who have radio or television shows and they are, you know, preachers and they're sharing the gospel. And so you think, well, that's a tiny, I mean, how many people could that be? But the evangelical vote is actually has numerous different definitions. And in this election cycle, there's been a lot of discussion about the evangelical vote. I'll tell you, when we started talking about this about 2 years ago, people were saying, well, evangelical just means, you know, if you're a Christian and you go to church at least once a month, which is obviously a huge segment of America. I don't know what percentage is, but that'd be a huge segment. But in this cycle, different people studying the vote, voters, have used very different definitions. One definition, very common, would include more than one-third of all Americans as evangelical. Another would include fewer than even one-tenth. And so this evangelical vote term, if you read things about it, I would assume if you actually care who these people are, who's being measured, dive into it. I mean, according to like Pew Research Center, for example, they say about 35% of American adults consider themselves evangelical or born again. And they arrive at that label by asking people, do you say that you're evangelical or born again? Well, I have to tell you, folks, I grew up in upstate New York, and we lived many years of our lives in California. And I always had the impression evangelical meant a preacher, or someone who is really out there sharing the gospel publicly on the street corner or something, not just someone who's a church-going Christian, which we are. But and other people, and another really important distinction is, like CNN uses, they add a modifier. When they use the term evangelical, they're focusing on white or Caucasian evangelicals, not black evangelicals. And they say you have to do that because many people who are church-going black evangelicals or people who regularly attend Christian church who are black tend to vote Democrat. And so it's not fair to include them in the numbers that when you talk about the evangelical vote. So I wanted to mention that because the term gets tossed around a lot. It matters what they're measuring and it matters how people self-identify. Another polling organization makes you answer seven questions about your actual theology before they will include you in their calculation of should you be considered an evangelical voter. So I just think it's really important because I think there are many, people vying over the evangelical vote and fighting about it. And it doesn't mean what you might think it means. Another thing I want to get to was in this, because there are just so many lies flying around this election cycle, and I want to address one of them. Regardless of who you happen to support, if you're on the GOP side, you're choosing among the candidates for the GOP side, you know, this coming Tuesday is primary. It is Super Tuesday. We're going to talk about Super Tuesday a lot in the second hour. I want to just hit one thing that has been a perpetual misrepresentation in this campaign, and that was the idea that is often said by Donald Trump, everybody hates Ted Cruz. Everybody hate. And you know, I want to raise this because it's really important to understand a couple of truths about that. First of all, and also the other thing Donald Trump will regularly say about Ted Cruz is, no one's endorsing him. He's got no endorsements. No one likes him. I just want to share a few things with you about that and about Ted Cruz. Now, I will say, in full disclosure, Ted Cruz's dad translated my book into Spanish for me. I don't know him well. I know him, but not well. I think he is the constitutional conservative we need in this election cycle. I think there is no person close to his comprehension of the importance of the Constitution, what the Constitution means in terms of returning our government, pulling away from tyranny. He's the one who understands foreign policy and what was wrong with the Iranian deal. He's proven to the voters of Texas when he says he will do something, when he runs on the issue, he'll go to Washington and do exactly that. Ted Cruz, just, you know, this whole everybody, you know, no one likes Ted Cruz. This is a guy who started with 4% name recognition when he ran for United States Senate in 2012. 4% name recognition and succeeded in beating the heir apparent to the, there was an open Senate seat, David Dewhurst. David Dewhurst had, I don't even know, 10 times as much money. He's a multi-millionaire. Ted Cruz had to run his campaign on the force of his beliefs, his persuasion. He went around the state and persuaded people by the values he stands for, by his, what he believes in. And he won that, first of all, there was no a victor in the initial primary. There were four or five people in. And so Ted Cruz got, and David Dewhurst was the other gentleman, were the top two vote getters. They went to a runoff. That runoff ended in July of 2012 with Ted Cruz getting almost 57% of the vote. Almost 57% of the vote against a long-term Texas politician, multimillionaire, and Ted did it by his own speaking, by his persuasion. And Ted Cruz has, in this contrary to many times Donald Trump keeps saying no one's endorsing him, Ted Cruz has the endorsement of all the Texas leaders, current Governor Abbott, former Governor Perry, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, along with 29 members of the United States Congress, 29. And this is, but you keep hearing Donald Trump say none. And if you go and Google this, and I did and printed out the list, the people endorsing Ted Cruz are the actual movement conservatives. They're the ones who are saying, I don't do this for fame or for popularity. I stand by my ideas. That's who's endorsing Ted Cruz. And so there are people like, and I can't read the whole list, but I'll just tell you that there are dozens of people in Congress endorsing him, including Texas members of U.S. Congress. There are also, and this speaks to a lot of what we're talking about, there are leaders around the country in state after state after state, Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Florida, Georgia, Kansas, Illinois, Iowa, state after state, the real true conservative leaders in those states have endorsed Ted Cruz. And so it's important to know, because Ted Cruz is not, he's not the braggadocio kind of guy who screams this from the rooftop, but the serious thinkers in this country, Thomas Sowell, probably the preeminent economics spokesman in the country for conservative free market ideas. Dr. Sowell has endorsed him. So that's another thing I wanted to add about this election cycle is Ted Cruz, Texas Sun, has many, many extremely important endorsements. And the other thing I wanted to address very quickly in this segment, and then in the last segment, I'm going to turn and talk about the GOP and demography. We need to stop agreeing that demographics are going to mean anything bad for this country's changing demographics will mean anything bad for the GOP. We need to just stop believing that, because it's not true. And that will actually segue nicely, because the next hour we have, at the top of the hour, an interview with Crystal Wright, the founder of Conservative Black Chicks, author of a new book, and she talks about that also. But two last points about this election cycle. People keep saying that Donald Trump is popular because he's the outsider. And in some ways he is, because he has not held elected office. But I do want you to consider, Donald Trump in many ways is the most insider of all of the candidates on both sides of the aisle. Donald Trump has lived his life living and breathing crony capitalism, what conservatives despise, for decades. He has not just donated to Democrat candidates, he's been part of the whole cut a deal, make a donation, give a donation to Hillary Clinton because you got to do business, then they'll come back to you. He's a crony capitalist in the way that most conservatives always say they despise. They say they despise it. And I think this is one point that has not been brought out in this election cycle so far that will be, this segues into my last point I wanted to make. Donald Trump is also, now he may win, he may sweep Super Tuesday. I don't think so. I think Ted Cruz will definitely win Texas. And let me make a prediction here by at least 10 points. That's what I think. But we'll see what happens. But the other thing about Donald Trump is he is, among all the candidates, the most unvetted. And I mean by that, yes, he's been on magazine covers, he's been in the newspaper, his splashy, high-style life, he's lived the life of the rich and famous since birth. But nobody has had the Clinton machine, the Democrat, rake over the coals, as the Clintons always do, effort at to really vet Donald Trump. This, and beside that, the polls continually show that Hillary will beat Donald Trump. That's a poll that comes, 8 out of 10 polls say it, that Hillary will beat Donald Trump. But even more important, those polls are being done before Hillary and the Clinton machine have even started vetting Donald Trump and his alleged mob ties and his numerous bankruptcies and his extremely salacious lifestyle. This is a guy who's going to get raked over the coals by the Democrat machine, and because his life has not been vetted in the way a political campaign vets. And I know this all can sound like I'm saying, you know, that this is, here's the end of the bottom line to me, folks. I want a Republican to win the election in 2016. I am deeply alarmed by the idea of four more years under Obama/Hillary. It will be a disaster for this country. But I want us to choose someone who can win and someone who will actually govern from a conservative place. Donald Trump's a populist, and he may bring a lot of new voters into the GOP side. But I think we have to ask ourselves, at what price? At what price to conservatism? Okay, so a little bit long. I didn't mean to. This is Debbie Georges and Ladies Can We Talk. We're going to go off to this extremely short break and come back. And I want to tell you some really good news about Republicans getting the, just abandoning any fear about demographics and demographics shaping this country. GOP can continue winning because our ideas are right and everyone can understand that. This is Debbie Georges and Ladies Can We Talk.
This is 660 AM, The Answer. Dennis Prager respectfully disagrees with Donald Trump supporters.
I respect the supporters of Donald Trump. There are a lot of good and thoughtful people who support him. I have more evidence not to support him than you have to support him. I disagree with you fundamentally on his character, on his experience, and on his values.
The Dennis Prager Show, weekdays at noon, right before Sean Hannity at 2 on 660 AM, The Answer.
At the Restoring Unity Rally in August of 2015, 20,000 people gathered to celebrate the bond among Americans. A choir sang All Lives Matter, but mainstream media didn't cover the event. They didn't even share the pictures of Americans of every skin tone joining arms and voices proclaiming our unity as Americans. By contrast, there's regular media coverage of rallies of 30 or fewer people around the theme Black Lives Matter. These events get very different coverage because of liberal media bias. Left-wing media coverage is intended to convey that America is a deeply troubled nation made up of competing victim groups, which makes the mission of growing government control of society seem vital. Americans are tired of media bias and of the left-wing attempt to pull America apart. If you're tired of it too, keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer. We talk truth about the goodness of America.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-400-8172. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU online degrees, call 1-800-400-8172. That's 1-800-400-8172.
7-Eleven now has these amazing new breakfast melts. And they're only $2.99. Thank you.
We are experiencing technical difficulties. Our announcer decided to try the product. He was trying to explain 7-Eleven has two new melts that are toasted in-store, a bacon, egg, and cheese, and a sausage bacon and cheese. Both with thick-cut hickory-smoked bacon and aged cheddar cheese served on an artisan ciabatta roll for only
$2.99. Only at 7-Eleven.
Yeah, only at 7-Eleven.
Lifestyles Unlimited is the real estate, investor, education, and mentoring group that has taken people by the hand and taught them how to invest in real estate for over 24 years. Our students have been so successful at creating wealth and passive income that they've won local, state, and national investor of the year awards 9 of the last 9 years. It's easy to see why Personal Real Estate Investor magazine named us the best in the U.S. If you're ready to add real estate to your portfolio, go to passiveincomedallas.com to access our free live training event schedule.
What is Pink Impact?
I followed my heart and showed up to Pink Impact.
I just had a moment with God and I just came out a completely different person.
God healed me at Pink Impact. I'm amazed at how much these blessings have impacted my life.
And it will be a day that I will never forget.
Pink Impact, May 13th and 14th at the Fort Worth Convention Center with Priscilla Shire, Christine Kane, Charlotte Gamble, and Worship with Carrie Job. Get your tickets now at pinkimpact.com. That's pinkimpact.com.
660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Well, hello there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk, and thanks so much for tuning in. I want to just do right now thank our sponsor. I quite often wait till the end of the show, but I want to do it right now. This show would not be possible without the generosity of our sponsor, GC Works. And as I tell you every week, GC Works is right here in Dallas, is based here. They perform research in advanced technology, and they deliver innovative approaches to the oil and gas industry. We are very, very grateful for their support of this show. Couldn't do it without them. Okay, so I want to do in this last little segment, we just have a few minutes before we have to go to the top of the hour break, and I want to just tell you, I got such an inspired idea to tell you about. First of all, last night, my husband and I attended the Dallas GOP Reagan Day dinner. It was very, very good, and Congressman Trey Gowdy was the speaker, and he was really great. I want to share a couple points he made and tie it into this demography is not destiny message. And that will just segue beautifully into the top of the second hour when we have Crystal Wright, the founder of Conservative Black Chicks, coming on to talk with us about her new book. But last night, Trey Gowdy made a couple points I think is worth sharing. This is an extremely acrimonious primary cycle. There are actually Fox News and other stations and other people on the internet are reporting that people who get behind one particular GOP candidate, and they are angry if their friends won't agree, they're angry if there's any criticism of their candidate, people are defriending each other on Facebook. And I just want to say about this, these are important discussions to have. It's actually important to be able to tell your friends why you're concerned about candidate X, what you see as the concerns about candidate Y, why you think your person that you've chosen is the best. These are important. It's part of Western civilization to have intelligent conversations. And too many people get immersed into, I only have my blinders on, only my guy. But two things Trey Gowdy talked about last night were just so insightful. He was wonderful. And, you know, I don't always agree with him on things, but two things he said were really good. One, he was saying, think about the times in your life when you have to discuss something with your spouse and you don't agree and you know you don't agree. How often have you come to agreement by raising your voice and screaming in their face? I mean, how often do you ever get around to saying, it's my way and you're going to do it my way and you're going to see how I mean, obviously it never happens. The way married people work out their differences is to converse, to hold back the anger, to listen to what they're saying. And, you know, you're not going to agree with your spouse on everything, but you are going to respectfully exchange ideas and sometimes, in fact, quite often, get to an agreement. But this is a kind of thing he talked about. You have to treat each other with respect. And even in this campaign season, when you're so upset, it's an important thing to do. I really, really like that. And he also talked about the idea, and this is one of the things I talk in my many speeches around the country and where I go talking about, when you talk about your political ideas, you have to be able to say why. It's not enough to say, I stand for traditional marriage. Why? What is your reason? What's your thinking? What is your, and whether it is strong national defense, securing the border, not permitting a pathway to voting citizenship for people who came here illegally, there are just dozens of issues facing America. People have opinions on them. And we have to be able to say, and each of us has to think through in our hearts, what matters to me and why? Because many times we assume the person we're talking with already knows the why, already knows what's right, and they're just being stupid and saying what's wrong, but that's not true. We actually don't know. People who think they support increasing the minimum wage to $20 an hour, they think they're helping poor people. That's what they actually think. And if you leave them thinking that and you don't explain how actually raising the minimum wage hurts poor people, you think that you're failing to communicate and you can never persuade. So I really wanted, he did a great job talking about those ideas, other ideas too, but those were great. Now, here's my thing about demography is destiny. America has, obviously, a shifting population, and there's been so much talk in the last 10 or more years about the idea that as America becomes more and more, they use the term majority minority, which is kind of really an oxymoron because you can't be majority minority. If you're the majority, then you're the majority. But the idea that people who are, not Caucasian, whether they are they are Black Americans or they are people who've crossed the border and come from all sorts of places around the world, Asian or Hispanic or Latino, whatever you'd say, that somehow all these new voters are going to vote for the Democrats. And so it's just a demographic certainty that, of course, once America is majority of people who are now called minority, that the Republicans will never win again. And that is extremely ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons why. And I'm going to post this article on the Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page. I urge you to go to that page. Here's the bad news. Democrats have won five of the last six popular votes. And after Barack Obama won in 2008, in fact, there was a discussion of the coalition of the ascendant, the young people, African-Americans, Latinos, that was going to be a compelling image. And ever since then, you know, the Republicans can't win again. But think about this. Geographically speaking, America is increasingly red. This year's Gallup survey of party affiliation showed for the first time more red states, 20, than blue states, 14. During the Obama years, Democrats have lost 13 senators, 69 congressmen, 10 governors, and 917 state legislators. The party is hollowed out. The Democrat Party is hollowed out. And here's the reason why. Because their ideas don't work. It's not enough to say women, Blacks, Hispanics, all these groups. You've got to ultimately work with ideas. And in America, the party with the ideas that work is a GOP. Now, I got to tell you, folks, I can criticize plenty of GOP elected officials and candidates. I do not think you get a pass on your views because you have an R by your name. But the ideas of conservatism, the ideas of the founding of America, the ideas of limited government, of individual liberty, of personal responsibility, the idea of freedom, freedom to live your life the way you choose, and the rights you have declared in the Declaration, expanded on the Constitution. This is what makes life happy and worthwhile and worthy to live. And we're the party who stands for those. The Democrats actually have a serious candidate on their side who is supporting socialism. The Democrats have drifted too far left from normalcy, too far left from America. And if we on the conservative side can point this out, we can win elections for decades to come, because at the end of the day, your skin color doesn't matter. The language your grandparents spoke, your ethnicity, none of that matters. Right ideas matter. And that's a perfect time to say we're going to go off. We're nearly at the top of the hour break. I want to encourage you to stay tuned. It's a quick break at the top of the hour, and we're going to have a fabulous guest on the second hour, Crystal Wright, founder of Conservative Black Chicks, author of a great new book, and a dynamic advocate for the idea that conservative ideas are best for Black Americans and all Americans. This is Debbie Georgiatis, and ladies, can we talk? My book and radio show have the same name, Ladies Can We Talk. The reason I wrote the book, do the radio show, and speak to groups around the country is that I want to inspire people to remember again why America is great. Not just to say that America is great, but to understand why. My job on this show is not only to talk about the issues and events of the day and interview interesting people, but to connect the dots between how we solve today's issues and the impact they'll have on our future. I do this show to persuade listeners that real answers to the challenges we face can only be found by uniting around ideas like American-style liberty, talking less about political labels and identity politics, and more about the uniquely American identity is the only path to greater unity among Americans. This is Debbie Georgiatis. I hope you'll keep tuning in to Ladies Can We Talk every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 a.m. The Answer. We talk truth about America.
Geico applauds your inner road champion. A solid bump from Geico's fist to yours goes out to the little rebel that lives within. The one who made you daydream as a kid about owning a chopper, chroming it out, and chewing on toothpicks. Just to look tough. For you, champ, Geico insures motorcycles with great rates. And to further fuel your engine, you can access your policy anytime, day or night, through the Geico mobile app. Because Geico knows that even make-believe renegades need help from time to time.
Geico Motorcycle. See how much you could save.
Without automatic cloud backup, everything on your computer is at risk. From hackers, viruses, natural disasters, or even the occasional human error. Few things are as bad for business as...